Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of the Small Business Podcast. My name is Brandon Woodruff. I hope you like my voice because this is the one you'll be hearing every week. And I will have a different person on with me who I will be interviewing each week. I will have a different small business owner, just businesses all over the spectrum, anything you can think of. If it's a small business, they qualify and can be part of the show. So I will be interviewing them and asking them the questions that matter, and asking them questions that they can answer, and you can take those answers and make them fit your context and apply the things that they do. Just taking what works for you, leave the rest. So that's kind of the goal here, to just all of us as small business owners to make each other better and learn from one another. I am an online fitness coach, so you can find me anywhere if you care to follow along with my business. You can find me at Woodruff Fitness on pretty much any social media, and I also have randomly a used furniture company. I'm in Kansas City, so it's just called Kansas City Used Furniture. That's how creative I am, and so you can just follow along with me there at Instagram or Facebook if you care to see the used furniture posts in a town that you're probably not in. So let me know what you think of this first episode. My first guest is Jonathan Collier. He is the owner of High Touch Marketing, and I think it's really fitting to have a marketer by trade as our first guest, because I think no matter what we do, we can learn from him. So I welcome your feedback. I welcome questions that you would like to hear me ask, and just want to make this better every week for you guys. So let me know your thoughts on it, and I'm excited. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Small Business Podcast. I'm still shocked that this name for this podcast was not taken. I guess people are just way more creative than me. But just so you know, this podcast is going to be like the goal of it is just each week I'm going to have a different small business owner on here. We're just going to discuss. We're just going to talk about their business. Like, they'll introduce themselves. We'll get into kind of the nuts and bolts of it. And, you know, kind of connect you with them at the end so that you know where to find them and you hear what's next for them and everything. And the goal is just to kind of all of us learn, you know, together. I am a new small business owner. You know, I've been doing the fitness coaching thing for a few years, but it's been a side hustle, and I've only been full-time self-employed. Full-time small business mode over the past 6 months. So I am like still very, very, just novice in my understanding of business and marketing and all of that. So I plan to learn a lot from this, and hopefully other people can too. So my guest today is Jonathan Collier. So why don't you just go ahead and kind of introduce yourself, Jonathan? Tell us a little about you and about what your business is, man.
What's up, man? It's glad to be here. Like I said, we talked before the recording started. I have been in your chair hosting podcasts in the past, and yeah, it's nice to finally be in the interviewee seat. Yeah. It's a different bundle of nerves this time around.
Yeah.
Instead of asking the right questions, I've got to answer them correctly.
No, so don't be nervous, man. Just say whatever. I'm pretty sure you're going to be good.
Nah. So a little about me. So I have done a lot of things. For about 10 years, I was in the professional world, graduated college the first time with a business degree, fell into the fire protection industry, and worked up and ended up right as I was leaving that industry. I was in team management, managing some divisions of the companies and working with some of their marketing folks, never doing the marketing myself. During that time, I was part of a nonprofit, nonprofit men's ministry that launched, and would do behind the scenes work there, website maintenance, website development, social media, systems implementation. And that's really where I kind of dove in, and marketing became a passion. And marketing from the sense of relational and communicating a message. So did that, hosted a podcast.
Yeah.
And met wonderful guy who we both know, met the one, the only Alan Briggs on a podcast I hosted. And we ended up going through coaching. He coached me. I was super unhealthy. Didn't know what I wanted to do in business. Was wrestling with business and ministry. Came out of coaching totally different. Went back through school. Now a church planter, and the starting of the business most recently came on. I may have you beat with being new as a small business owner. I've worked with small businesses, worked for small businesses. But we just accidentally started High Touch Marketing probably 5 months ago.
Okay.
5 months, accidentally, we had people walking up and saying, hey, I love what you guys are doing. Can you teach me? And the cool thing about it was they were people that I had wanted to work with doing some individual consulting that were just being presented to us. And so we talked about it and we're like, hey, you know, you're really good at X. I'm really good at Y. Let's tie this together. And when we give someone Z, it'll be a great 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
So that's where High Touch Marketing came out of. So we're new, but we're kind of backing into the business development when we already have clients. I guess that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
That's a little bit about me and where we are. So bivocational church planner, marketing is a passion, and helping people tell their stories is a passion for me, specifically those in the small business, nonprofit, ministry world who whether you have a product to sell or you want to communicate the gospel in your communities, you know, if 79% of people are in the digital marketplace, it doesn't matter whether you're selling apples, you know, services, or you're wanting to communicate the gospel, people are there. And they're right on the other side of screens. And so it's never been more important.
Yeah.
And so the passion has become a business that fills a need, being bivocational, and it's just fun. So that's a little bit about me and my journey to business ownership.
That's so cool, man. So, I mean, awesome. So, I mean, that's kind of like, you answered a couple of the questions that I was going to hit you with next, kind of like what you were doing before and things
like
that.
We can dig more in if you want some more information, I mean, feel free to circle back and.
Sure. No, I mean, you answered them well. I mean, I think you just kind of like, that's kind of I feel like people, including myself, are probably going to hear that and think, be a little jealous, because it's just kind of like, that's the dream, right? Like, you want people coming to you. Like, you literally started a business because people were requesting your services. That's pretty, that's a good place to be.
Well, I think it was really more or less to being in tune to it. I didn't realize it at first. So everyone sets goals at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of people fall short of completing their goals.
Yeah.
Like, something happens, they get frustrated. And I think what kept me in tune with it is connecting with someone who was further along than I was.
Yeah.
Who kept saying, hey, keep showing up.
Yeah.
Keep pressing in, keep pressing on, and eventually things will happen. And then you begin to see, like, oh, these are people that I'd like to work with.
Yeah.
That, you know, that are being brought in. And then you just help, you know. Some of it's free, some of it's, you know, paid, but it's the beginning. It's the instant you charge someone for something is when it becomes very real.
Yep.
And so that's absolutely the big, scary step.
It is. Yep. Man,
you can make free coffee for years, but the minute you charge someone $1 for a cup of coffee, it's like, man, I hope this is the best coffee in the world.
Yeah. I mean, even with the fitness coaching, that's very much like very true. I mean, I would do things for free and had free clients that I would help out years back. But the moment I got on the phone with the first person that I was planning to like start charging, and like I was like so scared to like throw a quote out, and like, you know, I mean, I knew the service itself, and it was worth less to begin with, because I mean, years back I was not the coach that I am today, you know, and in 5 years I you know will be a better coach than I am today, obviously, but like at that time, you know, I knew that the value of it was probably a few hundred a month or something, but I was just like, $50, you know, like I just answered my first client. So very slowly, like the price raised to the point where it is now. And I probably won't, like now it's where I think it's worth right now. But like before, I was just like so scared. I was like the first few people, I think there were even a few people I planned to charge that I just wound up being like, let's just do it for free. Cause I just didn't have that confidence, you know, it was just, I don't know. That's where I was.
Well, and I've been there too, and really still there now. So there's nothing wrong with doing something for someone for free if you've got the capacity to do it.
That kind of built the foundation, honestly.
So, so anyone listening, so be encouraged by that. So you may have this goal of, I want to make X dollars, but in your new and starting out, that's cool. Be a beginner. Like, embrace the fact that you're new. And if you do something, if you add a ton of value to someone and there's no cost, and like it really helps them out, get an endorsement from them. Like ask them, hey, would you leave me a review? Would you recommend me to someone?
Yep.
And that can help you. That free value could lead to, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 paying customers,
you know,
down the road.
Absolutely.
So it's worth its weight in different currencies.
Yep. Yep. You get paid in things other than money at first in a lot of ways. So, cool, man. So let's just see here. So I know you've only been in kind of full time here for a few months doing this, but so were you pretty heavily involved in marketing type things? Because since your specialty now is digital marketing, how long have you been doing like kind of marketing in some form or fashion?
So I'm one of the folks that has had a Facebook account since Facebook was created way back when you had to be in college to have a Facebook account.
Yeah, so, I remember that.
So I've seen it grow and the digital marketplace grow. Probably for the last 7 years, working behind the scenes, you know, navigating the algorithms and watching Facebook grow from the time and the other digital platforms as they were released, when you could just put something out there and there weren't any limiting factors that would keep you from getting exposure. So 7 years, I would say.
Okay.
Marketing systems integration. I really developed a love for content and story within about the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And that's a big growth area within the marketing world now, as things are shifting from marketing towards someone's wallet versus marketing towards their heart.
Yeah.
And helping them realize how whatever it is you're doing can make them the champion of their story.
Yeah.
So I really fell in love, so to speak, with content marketing and within about the last 5 years. And that's been tied together recently, and have had the chance to really put it to practice over the last few years with Stay Forth Designs, which is the organization I work for doing their content production.
Yeah.
And then that led to starting of High Touch Marketing. So,
And
7 years doing some different
things.
Yeah. Oh, I'm still there. I love doing content marketing for them. That's my, between church planning, High Touch Marketing, and Stay Forth, church planning and Stay Forth take up the majority of my time, and High Touch I've allotted, you know, a portion to grow you know, to fill that bucket. So, doing it healthy.
Awesome, man. That's so cool. So let me see. I would just want to kind of move into a little bit more of the practical stuff now that we kind of know who you are and what you do. So, who would you say is kind of like your, when you are sitting down and you're thinking about like trying to get your next clients, like who's kind of your target audience? Like, who are you going after?
Sweet. So yeah. So my target audience or avatar or buyer persona, whatever you want to call it, is the small business owner who makes, you know, $1 million or less a year.
Okay.
The nonprofit leader or the ministry leader, whether you're a church planner or a you know, established church, who doesn't have all the money in the world to fling at an outside, you know, agency to just take over and do whatever it is they want.
Yep.
So that's our audience. Someone we can come in, offer you, you know, the best value. We can work with someone to teach them a process to bring in house. And that's what, that's our niche. So we don't want to do it for you, but we've developed a process that we believe in, that we've seen work.
Cool.
And we want to teach you to develop a sustainable marketing process.
Awesome. Awesome. So when it comes to marketing, I mean, so this is like a question that I kind of have built in that I'm going to ask everybody. So you're probably obviously as a marketer by profession, you're going to have more to say here than somebody else. But I mean, the question I'm just going to lay out as simply as I would for anybody else and just kind of see how you answer. How do you get new prospects? Like what are your marketing strategies for your own company, not for your clients, but for like your own company, getting clients for yourself?
I think it's putting to practice what you're teaching.
Yeah.
So if you're in the business of lead generating, then what are you putting to practice internally to generate those leads? So we'll teach people to identify where their audience hangs out.
Yeah.
You know, if you sell oranges, so where do all the orange farmers hang out in the digital marketplace? Are they on LinkedIn? Are they on Facebook? Are they on TikTok? Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you doing to reach them? The same thing comes from the business standpoint. So I know that I have, you know, professionals, be it ministry, nonprofit, and business, small business, where are they?
Right.
You know, for me, a lot of them have accounts on Facebook. A good percentage of them have accounts on Instagram.
Yep.
And there's a ton on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And so that's where we focus. And then word of mouth too. So we're new, like we've been at this for 6-7 months. So a lot of it's word of mouth.
Yeah.
You know, in that phase of someone comes, hey, can you answer this question for me? Oh yeah, I'd love to. We do this. Would you be interested in X, Y, or Z?
Yeah.
So using it also in a funnel standpoint of giving the free value with the intent to maybe they'll work through the funnel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going from free value to an assessment to a retainer. So those would be the areas. So it's putting to practice what you're teaching other people as it pertains to you.
Yeah.
To me, that builds credibility.
Yeah.
It shows that you're benefiting from what you're teaching. It shows that you're a thought leader.
Yeah.
And then, you know, don't passing up opportunities to offer any sort of value to someone else.
Yep. What about, do you have a kind of a specific like system or method of getting referrals? Since you mentioned word of mouth, I mean, is that kind of like built in, or do people, or is that kind of organic? You're not asking for it. They're just kind of doing it.
No, it's the ask. And I always tell people, especially if you're in a, you know, you've got a side hustle you just started and you're trying to gain clientele, you know, do something for them and then just put the big ask. Hey, would you mind if I've been of any value in any sort of, you know, manner, if I've helped you in any way, would you mind referring me to so-and-so? Yeah. Would you leave me a recommendation on my Facebook page or LinkedIn? Mm-hmm. And then you can then use that in your one pagers that are sent out to other customers. So wherever you are in client acquisition, you know, the big ask, and even with paid clients, I'll say, hey, can you leave me a review?
Yeah.
Can you refer me to someone?
Yeah.
You know, if you know of anyone that you think might be beneficial, refer me to someone.
Yeah. Really is as simple as asking. Yeah.
Yeah. The big ask, and that's the big fear. Like whether it's, no matter what it is, people always have this big checkup inside when it comes to asking someone for something.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, the person you ask is going to do it.
Yep. Yep. So what about, so this still kind of falls under marketing, but like, I know obviously content, putting out content is a big part of like what you coach other people through. Mm-hmm. But obviously you're doing it yourself for your business too. So like what kind of content are you putting out? I know you already mentioned kind of where some of the main focuses are for you. But like where, so just talk about kind of like what kind of content you put out, how you tailor that content based on the audience and the kind of the social media platform you're putting it to. Just kind of talk about like what some of your most popular and most liked content that you put out would be, like what's getting traction.
So people like to know how to do things, and it's kind of funny. Everybody wants to go viral overnight.
Yeah.
And I'll tell anyone, I said, hey, look, if you want to go viral overnight, we're not the marketing agency for you.
Right.
You know, we believe in, you know, I would rather have 1,000 super engaging people that are going to, you know, be repeat customers, you know, your 1,000 raving fans, so to speak. And I forget who is the author of that.
I forget too.
I will message it to you and you can put it in the description. So I would recommend anyone read that. So we kind of follow that model. And so the types of content that we put out, it's geared towards your messaging, what you should be doing. Hey, you know, the avatar is the person who probably has no marketing experience, or they have a solid message and they don't know what to do with it next. Mm-hmm. So content related towards next steps. So these are some practical things to get you to do X, Y, and Z. We'll give you a ton of value. So we believe in giving you our best stuff. What you do with it's up to you. And there's also the built-in of, man, this is really great, but I don't know how to connect this dot. Let me reach out to these guys for help.
Yeah.
Whether it's an assessment or what have you. And then where we put it, it's observing. It's knowing who our audience is, looking where they hang out, analyzing the competitors.
Yeah.
Observing what they do, how they interact with their clients, their audiences, how you can do it better in ways that adapt to your niche, and then tailor the content there. So we have a blog on our website, that teaches principles, everything from increasing your email open rate, how to identify what social spaces you need to invest in, different things along the lines, you know, why you should be engaging social media if you're considering, you know, why I haven't done it, why you need to.
Man, it's
things that answer why. Yeah.
Gotta be on social media, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So content tailored towards the beginner.
Yeah.
The beginner or the person who's had the seasoned business who's like, man, we need to be on social media and we're not doing it, or we need to be doing something digitally and we don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So everything is help.
Yep.
Educational help, practical, nothing over the top.
Yeah. Cool. That covers marketing and sale. That covers the content and the marketing pretty well. And I think is it Kevin Kelly, 1,000 raving fans?
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with
1,000 raving fans. I would recommend that everyone.
Yeah.
Read that book.
Yeah, I have not read it. I've just kind of like skimmed the content before, but I'm gonna check it out. So I want to, next thing I want to cover here, we've covered kind of your marketing, your target audience. So moving from marketing to the actual sales, like kind of the closing of the deal. So you personally, you've got a potential client, you know, you've got a prospect out there who's coming through one of the doors you have, whether that's, you know, whether that's the content or like a referral, whatever it is. What is your method of like actually kind of closing them as a client? Is that done in person, over the phone? Kind of what, just walk us through really quickly what that looks like for you.
So 9 times out of 10, it's going to be over the internet, maybe in a Zoom call, a video call. But up to that point, they've been introduced by word of mouth, and we're going to have some sort of interaction before then. And we're going to give you as much value as possible. So I'm going to, you're going to say, hey, I have this much, these issues, these challenges built in. And then, so there's already going to be some value proposition there, value added there. And at the end of it, you'll get a write-up. No matter whether it's a free discovery session or what have you, you're going to get a write-up, and I'm going to give you next steps. And at the end of it, there's always going to be the, you know, these are the paid services. And at paid service, it's really, it's no, it's simple. I mean, I'll send a proposal over. We'll go over it in a meeting, a digital meeting, just like, you know, over like we're doing right now.
Yep.
And we'll go through it, answer any questions. I'll follow up with another email. Give them a bit of time to review and follow up one more time, and everything's worked flawlessly. So
that's awesome.
I've not had anyone walk away.
But as in like walk away after they've started, or walk away like before you
No, walk
them?
Away saying, hey, I've not had anyone say, hey, we're not really interested in, you know,
That's awesome,
if they're
man.
Coming for a certain service. And I think it's being relational. So the whole thing, we teach relational marketing. So we want to be very relational with our approach from introduction all the way to closing of a sale. It's to try and make it as least salesy as possible. Because people generally hate to feel like they're being sold to.
Absolutely.
So, and it could very well be that I meet someone and give them a proposal, and 6 months from now, they'll come back and say, hey, I'm in a right place now to do this. Well, let's go through it again, and you'll get the pitch.
Sounds good, man. That's awesome. And that's, I mean, it's funny to me, and I can already tell doing this podcast and talking to people in all different businesses that, like, it's so similar in so many ways. You know what I mean? With the fitness coaching, it's the same deal. The people, a lot of times the people who do either say no or not yet, they'll come, like, I'll follow up. I won't hear back from them for 6 months. And then suddenly they're like, all right, I'm ready to sign up. You know, it's like, they just have to be ready for themselves. So,
and for most people's timing is everything. And if you really make a point to make a connection to the person that you're trying to get to buy your service, whether it's coaching, marketing, consulting, whatever it is, if you can find a way to connect with whatever that pain point is, you can kind of coax them along. But if you're disconnected or you're trying to rush, if your mindset is solely to close a sale to get dollars, you're going to have more people walk away than you're going to sign.
Yep. Absolutely.
Like, you have to be just as passionate about getting them to close the deal so you can help them as they are in their desire to have you help them.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's a bit antithetical for a lot of people, because for a lot of businesses, it's all about dollars and cents.
Yeah, it is. I know, man.
And it is. It's a necessary evil. But if you're trying to gain sales and close deals, you kind of need to put the dollars and cents behind and look at, okay, I'm really and truly passionate about doing X, Y, and Z. So let's make this as, you know, painless as possible.
It's funny how the money and the sales tend to come in when you actually like put the person first and care about them a little, you know? So,
and I usually get that out of the way early.
Yeah.
Like the very first list of services that goes through, like, you know, these are my services. These are the rates. These are what we offer. And that's off the table quick.
Yeah.
Now let's answer any questions and see what we can do. And then we'll tailor stuff and adjust pricing, but there's none of this, like, let's just wait. And now let's get the elephant out of the room. That's out of the way quick.
Yep. So let me ask you this. So we've covered a little bit of the marketing, the content, the sales. I want to move really quickly into kind of retention. Like, what makes, just a simple question I'd ask you is what makes your customers stay? Like, they've signed on with you. What keeps them with you?
Value.
Yeah.
Value. I mean, it's value and understanding that, okay, you're everything that you say you do, you're doing it and more. Yeah. So you can, you know, under offer and then over deliver.
Right.
So when I think a lot of times in business, we over offer because we think we have to, and then we under deliver.
Yeah.
And so it's exceeding expectations. And so it's, you know, providing value, doing what we say we're doing, delivering on our, you know, promises.
Yeah.
And then helping people, answering pain points. So that's what, you know, that's what makes them stay. You know, quite simply, you're doing what you say you're doing. And I think any successful business would have something similar to say. So and I don't consider us successful because we're new, but this track record is just, if you do what you say you're going to do, more than likely people will stick around.
So results, getting them results. Yep. Cool. And then next thing I want to kind of cover here is like improvement. I think that like kind of self-improvement and like growth as a business, I think a lot of times it's really easy to find something that works and then just stick with that. And then like, before you know it, like competitors have kind of left you in the dust because they're always growing and you've become stagnant. Like, what do you personally do to keep kind of growing and learning and trying to move and plan for the future?
Well, I mean, leaders are learners. Mm-hmm. The same applies for, you know, if you're a business owner, you're a leader. I think anyone and everyone in this world was created and called to some level of leadership. So you always have to be learning. So I said earlier, you need to always surround yourself with people who are farther along than you are.
Yeah.
Who have been, they may not be doing the exact same thing that you're doing, but they've been in a similar vein on a 4-lane highway. They may not be in the left-hand lane, but they've been on that highway.
Yeah.
And so they may be a couple of rest stops ahead of you, but you can learn and say, they've experienced this challenge. You know, I can see what they're doing, apply it to my context, read, listen to podcasts, jump in to connect with people that are directly in the same field you are and say, hey, you're doing what I'm doing and you're farther along from me. Yeah. I would love to get your take on X, Y, and Z. You know, read some books. If your niche is digital marketing, well, be a part of the digital marketing community.
Right.
You know, join groups and just because someone else is doing something, you're like, man, I can't apply that.
Right.
You may not be able to, but you can learn what not to do.
Yep.
You know, look at your competitors. The greatest way you can see where you can want to learn is look at your competitors. And as your business grows, chances are your competitors are going to be looking at you.
Yep. Absolutely.
But I would say this, it's easy to become victim of what I call and what was taught to me is procrastination by education.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, you're going to have to take action steps.
Yeah,
you can learn all the stuff in the world you want, but if you don't take the risk to put something to practice, you're never going to do anything. So you can learn as much as you want and continue learning, but keep putting it to practice.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I can, you know, just chiming in really quickly. I see, you know, in my own business, it's easy for me to do that. And I think sometimes with even as a coach, like a fitness coach, I see a lot of times people kind of substituting preparation for action for the action itself, you know? So might have beautiful like wall charts and body goals and planners and stuff, but it's just on the paper, you know what I mean? And my job is to help them move into the next thing. But I think that a lot of times, like just being aware that you are doing that is something that can be helpful.
And that's why having other people around you will help you with that. Absolutely. Accountability is key in any type of growth or learning. Yeah. I mean, think about the education system. Like you pursue higher education and it's up to you to learn and do what you want, but there's someone there who's holding you accountable to make sure you're putting to practice what they've been spoon feeding you.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and that's what helps us grow.
All right. One last practical question here, and then I'll hit you with three quick questions afterward to wrap it up. So the last question I want to cover here and just is just kind of how do you plan for the future? You know, I've seen some businesses, some people sit down and they have a 5-year plan and all this kind of stuff of where they want to be. Other ones are much more like kind of fly by the seat of their pants and adjust on the go. Like what is planning for the future of your business look like for you?
So I think there's goals. You know, for me, I take my personal goals and apply them because, like I said, this is new. Like we're a really new company, and then it's looking at the end of the year, saying, okay, by the end of 2020, we would like to have done this financially. We would like to have helped these types of organizations. We would like to implement these strategies, and then work back.
Yeah,
you know, see where you want to be, and then adapt it right now. I think a lot of people try to eat the entire pie at one time.
Yeah.
So look at where you would like to be at the end of this year or next year and then work back and say, what are the pieces of that that I can apply next month, 2 months from now, next quarter to hit those milestones.
Yeah.
And so that's the way I look at it. I like to look forward and catch vision, then apply it backwards.
I like that. That's awesome, man. Final three questions here. So ideally, like we're adding value, and you've brought a ton of value obviously through this already to anybody who's like trying to start out a new business, myself included. So what I want to kind of do here is just wrap up with three quick questions to just really kind of drive that home. So the first is, what would you tell somebody who is either looking to start a new business, like about to, or they're just already in kind of the first steps of it? And I know you're not too far out of that yourself, but you've been involved in other businesses. So what would you tell somebody who's, if you meet somebody on the street and they're like, hey man, I'm about to start this business, like what's the best advice you'd give them?
Keep going.
Yeah.
Show up. It's not rainbows and butterflies like we see every day where, you know, everyone's like, man, I started a business and overnight success, and that's not what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Embrace the process with anything. Yeah. Like you're going to cook the best meal ever.
Yeah.
You know, learn the ingredients, learn how to mix them right, learn what temperature the oven's got to be at,
yeah,
put it in, then cook it for the right amount of time. And you're not going to get it right the first time. And you may not ever get it 100% right, but keep showing up. If you're in the early phases, you know, soak up what you can like a sponge, take risks, be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was, Thomas Edison said he may have looked like he had failed 10,000 times, but he didn't. He just found 10,000 ways to do something different.
Yeah.
I butchered that quote, but in a nutshell, that's what he said.
You got the essence. So
failure, you will fail. Mm-hmm. And it will seem like hard work because it is hard work, but trust the process.
Yep. Yep. Cool. The next thing I want to ask you here is just kind of what other – since this being a new podcast, this obviously being the first episode, so I won't ask this question forever, but for probably the first 10, 20 guests, I'll probably ask it. Are there any questions you can think of that would be beneficial? Like if you were a listener of this rather than a guest, are there any questions you kind of wish I would have asked and give you the opportunity to answer that you think would provide value to listeners?
I can't off the top of my head. I think from about a 30,000 foot view, you covered it.
Cool.
But I think I always like the big question.
Yeah.
And so maybe asking someone their why.
Okay. I like that. Why are you doing this?
Yeah. What's the why behind your what?
Yeah. I like it.
Cause I think that's crucial for anyone. And I think what that tells you is that someone should be able to tell you why they're doing something succinctly and clearly. And then it'll let you better understand what their what is. And I think that's true for, that's a practical question. So if anyone's out there starting a business, you better define your why before you clarify your what.
Yep. Love that, man. Thank you for that. And I will add that to the next episode. So you unfortunately missed out on your own question unless you want to answer it right now, but you'll hear all the other people get it. So what's your why?
Yeah. So why? So we believe that, I believe that most marketing is complicated. People can believe that it's expensive, that it's, you know, that it's slimy and it's confusing. And so the why, I believe that that's not the case. That story is powerful. Everybody has a story and we want to help you communicate it. And so what we do is we help you be seen, be heard, and be known in the digital marketplace.
Love it, man. Love that. And I just want to wrap up here. Like, where can people find you? If they've liked what they heard, they either want your services or they just want to watch. They just kind of want to watch how you do business and learn from it. Like, what's the best places to find you? And I know we're going to link to it, but just kind of share here.
You'll get all the links. So you can obviously visit hightouchmarketing.net. We've got our blog set up, ways to connect with us there. In January, we'll be launching out a Facebook community that we've been building. Cool. And curating tons of content in that'll be ready to launch in January. But until then, you can follow along with me on Instagram. I post every other week. I post a short 3 to 5 minute tip video based on questions that have been asked to me, thoughts, snippets from a blog that I've written that people can track along, and then LinkedIn. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I post content there. Would love to connect, answer any questions you've got. However I can. And if you want to schedule a meeting, you can go right to our website. And there's a little widget in the bottom of the website. You can click it and schedule a meeting, and those are free. We'd love to talk to you.
Cool. Cool. And you work with people. Is it global or is it US?
So we've not encountered globally yet. Okay. Anywhere in the United States, if for some reason you are overseas and we think you're a good fit, we'll work with you. Really, it's, we love to meet and talk to people and establish if one, we think we're a good fit for you. And then if we think you're a good fit for us.
Cool.
That way, you know, it's relationship. So.
Yep. Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you being the first guest on this new podcast, and I will let you know as soon as it's out, but I will talk to you soon, Jonathan.
Nice, man. It was a pleasure, and I look forward to subscribing to this thing. This was a lot of fun.
Man. Hey, number one, first subscriber.
Cha-ching!
Hey, Brandon again. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, got anything from it, please tune back in, and please share it with any other small business owners in your life.